Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know, there are so many problems with our faith, which could be solved if we just believed the first four words of Scripture. In the beginning, God. If we could just believe that, nothing else would be a problem. If I just believe that God always was, and there's never been a time when there hasn't been God, then when God asks me to do something, he's got a lot more experience than I do. I mean, he knew everything before I knew anything, and he's never forgotten anything. So if I just get this nailed down, God always was. There's never been a time when there hasn't been God. I believe that God always was, and he is the one who created me. And there's a purpose for my life. I need to find out what his purpose is for my life and get busy doing it. If I just nail that down, God always was. These first four words, in the beginning, God. Before there was anything, there was God. If we believe that, we would have faith. Faith is what causes us to venture out. Faith is what causes us to obey when we can't see. You read Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is what caused people to do things that were impossible to do, and yet in the beginning, God. If we just believe God always was, there's never been a time when there hasn't been God. God created me. God has a purpose for my life, whatever it is, and God lets me know what it is. I'm just going to do it because in the beginning, God. God's seen it all. What hasn't God seen? God's seen everything. And now God gets to me and I say, you know what? I don't know if you know what you're doing. In the beginning, God. Before there was anything, there was God. We'd have faith if we believe that. It doesn't matter what comes after those four words. In the beginning, God. If we believe that God always was, here's a word, his eternality. He has no beginning. He has no time. There's no start with God. His eternality. Then our faith would not have to waver. God always was, God is, and God always will be. Now I want you to look at another verse here. We're going to use our Bible, Psalm chapter 90. You know, I feel sorry for people who go to church and they don't use their Bible. I mean, they never start with a Bible verse. They never read a verse. They never talk about the Bible. They just talk about philosophy. Philosophy, my Bible says philosophy spoils. We don't need philosophy. We need God. We need Scripture. Psalm chapter 90. Look at verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world. Notice the next phrase. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now we have a hard time thinking like that because we have a starting date and we have an expiration date. We have a day when we were born. We have a day when we're going to die. And we fill in as much time as we can and we don't know how much it is. Everything has a starting date in our life. Everything has an expiration date. You know, you're looking, water has an expiration date. I'm like, what in the world? Water doesn't go bad, but it does. You look at anything, everything in your refrigerator has an expiration date. But God is from everlasting, before time was, to everlasting. After time is all done, thou art God. God always was, God is, and God always will be. If you go back, before there was anything, the God who created everything was. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What did he create it from? Nothing. Wow, and that takes faith. But it takes faith to believe that in the beginning, God, from everlasting, always was. Before man, the crown jewel of God's excellence was created in the image of God. God was. Before he created them, male and female created he them. God was. Before God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, God was. In the beginning, God. Before the cattle grazed on the hillsides, God was. Before the beasts of the earth and the creeping things, God was. Before the birds flew in the sky and the fowls in the heavens, God was. Before the majestic eagle soared above the mountains, God was. Before anything was created, God existed. Before the great whales compassed the seas, God was. Before the fish swam in the ocean and the shark swam in the ocean, God was. Before all the beautiful little tropical fish swam in the rivers of the Amazon, God was. Before the lakes and the streams, the rivers, God was. Before the billions of stars, and they have so many stars, they haven't even found them all yet. There are galaxies out there that have yet to be discovered. Before all those stars, you know, you read about the account in Genesis and all the things that God created, and the stars are a footnote. And he made the stars also. Just like we'd say, yeah, and I took off my shoes before I ate dinner. You know, he made the stars also. Just a small little line in Scripture. We just kind of gloss over it. And the stars are huge. And there are multitudes. God was before the stars were created. God said, let there be stars. And there were stars. You can name your own star. They say $50, or I'll do it for $25. You give me $25, I'll name a star. I'll give you two. I'll buy one, get one free today. All right, name your own Rocky Moselle, right? Name your own star. And there's stars out there that have yet to be discovered in galaxies bigger than ours. God was before all of them. Before the sun provided warmth to sustain life, 93 million miles from Earth, God was. Before the moon looked back to reflect the sun, God was. Before the moon became the ruler of the night, God was. Before the dry land appeared, all the continents, God was. Before the seas, God was. Before the grass and the herb and the fruit trees and the vegetation, God was. Before the firmament and the heaven appeared, God was. Before God said, let there be light, God was. God has no beginning. God is from everlasting. He comes from eternity past. He is called the Ancient of Days. From everlasting, he stepped out onto nothing. And from nothing, he made everything. Listen. The evolutionist says everything came from a big explosion, right? A big bang. Listen, you try that anywhere else and tell me how that works out, okay? Kyle, you go to work tomorrow and stack up a bunch of steel beams, right? Put them all in a, you can put them in a straight line even. And you stack some more on top of that. And you stack some more on top of that. And you stack up some rebar. And you stack up some whatever you want. And then put a piece of dynamite underneath it. And then go back a couple hundred yards. Boom! A big bang. And boy, look at that. A building got built. Did you see that? I mean, it was an explosion. And now we got this nice building. And I mean, they're renting those spaces out. You got to put all the glass on top of it, right? Put all the concrete on top of it. Put all the water pipes on top of it. Put a couple rolls of Romex on top of it, right? Some BX cable and some conduit. And put all the connectors on there and all the electrical plugs and all the facilities for the washroom. Put all the sink in there and the toilet. And then boom! And you got a building. If you believe the evolutionist, right? That's going to work. He's going to try it tomorrow. Okay, this is a disclaimer. Don't do that, okay? Well, Mike, you try that at work. Get all that stuff together. Get all that concrete together. Get all those forms together. And all those whatever you weld up together. And then blow it up with dynamite and see if that works. Hey, you're working on a car, right? Try that. I went down to the mechanic this week. And you see my car. The gas cap lid fell off, right? It just broke off. The car is almost an antique. It's 22 years old. And the thing fell off.
And so I brought it into the mechanic. I had to get the muffler. There was a big bang in my muffler. Boom! And then it got really, like, what in the world, right? It didn't get better. It got $270 more expensive, okay? But who's counting? So I went down and I said, hey, this gas cap came off. And the guy looks at it and he goes, yep, I think I can weld that. And I said, you're going to weld next to the gas tank? And he said, well, as long as the lid's on tight, it should be okay. And I sat in the office and I listened all afternoon. I'm like, your fire truck's going down. I'm like, that was my car. But, you know, he couldn't fix it. So he gave me a link where I can buy another one and screw it on there, right? But just think about this. So you get all your car parts, right? So you take a block and you put it on there, right? You start with that. Then you put a transmission on there. And then you put a couple cylinders for the block. You know, 8 is good. With the gas, 8 is still good. And you put them on. Listen, if you can't afford it, don't drive it, okay? You put it on there, and you put some fenders on there, and you put some chrome on there. You put a couple bumpers on there, some doors on there. 2 is good, right? And you put a stick shift on there, and you put carpet on there, right, and a headliner and all this stuff. And then you put a stick of dynamite underneath it. Boom! Hey, look at that. We got a car. That's ridiculous, right? Take a bunch of 2x4s, blow them up, and see if you can build a house. Well, how about clothes? Put a bunch of fabric together. We're gonna make, hey ladies, we're gonna make a suit or a dress or something. We're gonna make a curtains for the house. Put a bunch of fabric, put a bunch of thread, piles of thread, and just boom, blow them up. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, you're not an accident. Look, we're not a bunch of corpuscles and arteries and veins and tissue and water and bones and all of a sudden, boom! Hey, you know what the evolutionist says? Listen to this. This is hilarious. Where did everything come from? Well, there was some dust, you know, billions of years ago, like anybody ever saw it, right? They recorded it on PBS, right? They were there. I've seen some of those reported. They probably were. And National Geographic recorded. They were there billions of years ago. And there were some particles of dust. And the dust was swirling around. And the dust became a gaseous substance. Because you have to have gas to have an explosion. Boom! It blew up. And here we have this world. And the sun comes up over there every morning. It goes down over there after, 25 hours, right? 23 hours, some years. 24 hours. It goes down over there. Every night it goes down over there. And the sun and the planets and the earth, they all revolve around just perfectly. And the tides come in and the tides go out. We can put out a chart and we can figure out when it's the best fishing. Because we know when there's a full moon and when the tide is in and the tide is out. In the beginning, gas. And they say, we're stupid. Listen, can I ask you a question? I got to stand down here. I can't say this up here. How many of you are parents, right? And you've changed diapers before. In the beginning, gas. I'm sorry, but it does not make things more orderly. It makes things more disorderly. And if you believe that, you also have to have a diaper. In the beginning, gas. And they say, we're foolish. And they say, and they have theories, and they're all different, right? I was driving to church one morning. And I turned on the news, and the guy said, we've discovered some things in the universe that prove that the universe is actually, Earth is 25 million years older than it actually was before believed. And I thought, man, that's why my back hurts, right? Like, it's got 25 million more years on it. And but can you imagine? They don't even know what they're talking about. I mean, and they used to promote this stuff. I was reading a book the other day, and they used to promote this stuff back in the 1800s when they first started dreaming it up with cartoons. Because people would believe cartoons more readily than they would, you know, some, because probably the people couldn't even read that started believing it, right? In the beginning, gas. No, how about in the beginning, God? You can believe in gas. You know what? If you believe in gas, you'll go somewhere where it's burning forever. You believe in God, you won't have any gas forever. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It takes faith to believe in the Big Bang. I choose to believe in the beginning, God. God has no beginning. He always was. Incidentally, if you look at that word, in the beginning, God, there are a lot of different ways to spell God in the Bible, a lot of different titles for God. You see Lord sometimes, small L, a large L.
small O, small R, small D. You see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, right? All these different words for God. This particular one for God is Elohim. You ever hear that before? Elohim. Listen, can I tell you what that means? It is a plural word. In the beginning, God, Elohim, plural. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. In the beginning, God, Elohim, plural, three in one, created the heaven and the earth. You say, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's look at this. John 1. John 1. Verse number 1. John 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God, from everlasting, before there was time, existed. Before there was anything created, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wherever this Word is, it was with God, and it is God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Look at verse 14. And the Word, this in the beginning person who created all things, who has no beginning, who always was, who is God, and the Word was made flesh. That's Bethlehem. Here is Jesus being born in the world on Christmas morning, where we celebrate, right? In Bethlehem, in the beginning, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's that talking about? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is God, is in the beginning with God, has no beginning, always was, always will be. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus Christ is God. Wow. God the Son, the Creator, in the beginning, Jesus. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And verse number 12. Colossians 1, verse number 12, page 929. You're welcome. Colossians 1, verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance among the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him are all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Who is that? Jesus Christ. He's the one who redeemed us through His blood, verse 14. Jesus Christ created all things, and if you create all things, you got to be there first. You got to get there first. We didn't just get there first. He never had to get there. He always was. Before there was anything, there was God. Before there was anything, there's Jesus Christ. You want another one? Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. Why does the world hate this book right here? The world hates this book because it casts aspersion on their religion of humanism and on their religion of evolution. Is it a wonder if you've been told you come from a monkey that you act like a monkey? We're created in God's image. Why do they have to have, you know, look, I was born in Chicago. It's a violent place. There'll be 40, 50 people getting shot in Chicago today. And it's a gun-free zone. But they're being told, hey, you came from a monkey. You're just an explosion. Bang, that's why you're here. You're an accident. There's no purpose for your life. Just do whatever you want. And they'll just kind of cage them in like animals and shoot it out and see who can live past age 30. Well, that's really encouraging. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he what? He made the worlds. Listen, if I came over to your house and we are having a chocolate cake, because that's the great thing to have, right? I say, hey, you made that chocolate cake? Yeah. Well, guess what? You've been there before. You had the recipe. You made the cake before I got there. God, Jesus Christ, made the worlds. He was there before the worlds came. He always was. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Here's another one. Look at this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God the Father, Elohim, plural. God the Son, John chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God has no beginning. He always was, because he's God. He's plural, Elohim. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Always was God the Spirit. Hey, here's something interesting. I want you to look this up. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, we won't take the time, but I'm going to give you two other references. You can look them up when you get home, because Sunday's the Lord's Day, so you should study the Bible all afternoon, okay? Romans chapter 1, Acts 17, 29 is the other verse, and Colossians 2, verse number 9 is the other verse. But here in Romans chapter 1, I want you to see a word. Look at verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and what? Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now that word Godhead, it deals with the Trinity, the fact that God is three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are three, but they are one. That's the word Godhead. It's found in our Bible three times. Now, listen, these modern, the devil doesn't want you to believe that. The devil doesn't want you to know that. The devil doesn't want you to acknowledge that. So you know what he does? He takes it out. There are several modern perversions of Scripture calling themselves Scripture. But in the ESV, English Standard Version, and the MEB, Modern English Version, two darling versions of the modern, I don't want to read this because I don't want to get it wrong, of the modern progressive liberal Ichabod satanic carnal church. I added the word satanic, but I just felt I should. It actually removes the word Godhead completely. Removes the word Godhead completely. Why? They want to be like the Unitarian Universalists. Next time you drive by, it's at 669 Union Street. I think if they turn the 9 over, it would be actually correct. A 666 Union right over here. Okay, that's ironic. I like numbers. They don't believe in anything. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost being three, being one. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Incidentally, a lot of modern Bible perversions take this out as well. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. They always were. They always will be. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three, what? Are one. Your King James Bible says these three are one. Listen, I can be with somebody, my dad, and my son, myself. We're three, we're the same family. Guess what? We're not one. So they changed, these three are in agreement. We can be in agreement, but we're not one. God the Father is one, yet he's three. How does that work? Listen, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand, how can a brown cow eat green grass and give white milk? I had some on my cereal this morning. I didn't think about it too much. I just poured it out of the jug and I ate the cereal. But, you know, a brown cow eats green grass. You should give chocolate milk. If you give green milk, I wouldn't want it. Well, maybe at St. Patrick's Day. Okay? I want to drink that. How's that happen? Listen, if you take light and you put a beam of light into a glass prism, you get a rainbow. Why? Because beams of light are different lengths. You will see green. You will see blue, and you will see red, primary colors.
The other ones are variations and mixtures of those primary colors. If you take a beam out and say, well, that's not light, because it's not white, it's still light. This is a primitive example. Every time the sun shines and it's raining, the sunlight reflects off the droplets of rain, which are like little prisms, and makes that beautiful rainbow that we see in the sky. What is that? It's a diffusing of a beam of light. It's one light beam, but it's many different colors. Look at Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. From everlasting, before there was time, before there was a world, before there were men, before there was anything, God was. Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms devour this body. You can read that a lot of different ways, but think about reading it that way. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. What did Job say? He said, God's going to stand on the earth, and after I die, I'm going to see God to everlasting. You know, on the last page of Scripture, we find all three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three on the last page of Scripture. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. After the rapture of all the born again, God will be. After the tribulation begins on the earth, God will be. After there is time, no longer, in Revelation chapter 10, verse number 6, God will be. After the beast, the false prophet, and the antichrist come to power during the tribulation, God will be. After they wreak havoc upon the inhabitants of the earth, God will be. After they are ultimately defeated, and along with the devil, and the devil is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, God will be. God always will be. After the new heaven and the new earth, God will be. After the new Jerusalem comes descending out of heaven from God, God will be. After all the dust settles, 1 trillion years from now, God will be. We just believe that. God always was. God always will be. God is eternal. After all the foolishness and sinfulness of man, after all the investigations are done and everything is finally over, God will be. Can I tell you this morning? That great everlasting God loves you. That great everlasting God who always was and always will be and doesn't have to bother a whit with me, he loves me and he loves you. Why would a God who always was and always will be want to bother with me? That's a question I can't answer. But he loves us. The Bible says in Psalms 103 and verse number 14, he remembereth our frame that we are dust. You know, it'd be pretty easy for God to say, hey, you're not like me. Come on, get with it. Let's go. Hey, hurry up. Come on. Why are you doing that? God says he remembers our frame that we are dust. Limited, finite, failing. Psalm 113. He is interested in our life. Psalm 113 and verse number 4. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. God loves us. God knows our limitations. Hey, did you see that in that passage of Scripture? God is involved with our problems. God didn't just say, I'm going to humble myself, and if everything is going good, I'm just going to disengage and say, see you when you get here. He said, no, if you're in the dung heap, I can pull you out. I can lift you up. I am the everlasting God who always was and always will be. Yet I'm interested in the limitations in your life, and I want to get involved. I love you. I want to help you.
The God who has no beginning and the God who has no ending is the God who can do the impossible. He makes the barren woman to keep house. He said, you know what? I can do things that man can't do. I can do things that medicine can't do. I can do things that your best effort can't do. I can do the impossible. Wow, that's the kind of God we serve today. The God who always was, the God who always will be. And yet he stops and he says, I hear the little baby when it cries. I see the tear that falls from your eye in the middle of the night when nobody else is around and you're all by yourself. I humble myself. God gets down. Hey, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but God gets down on his hands and knees and he looks at what we're doing. He pays attention to every detail. In Luke chapter 12, he said, I see every sparrow that falls. He said, a couple of sparrows are sold for a farthing, a seventh of a cent. He said, you're of more value than many sparrows. Don't you think if I see a sparrow? Listen, I was walking around yesterday, and I saw a little sparrow, and I stopped. Every time I see a sparrow, I say, thank you, Lord. It just reminds me that you're paying attention to me. Those stupid little birds, right? There's like 50 of them in the bush. You walk up, and they petrify. Being taken over by birds. And every time I stop and I say, thank you, Lord. There's one hopping around on the driveway. Thank you, Lord, for thinking about me, a little sparrow. He said, hey, listen. Don't you think I know who you are? I'm looking at you, Brother John. I have all the hairs on your head numbered. I got yours numbered. Okay, Brother Tim, I got all the hairs on your head numbered. There's like 80 to 120,000 hairs on your head. You think blondes have the least? No, it's redheaded people. I don't know why. God said, I have them all numbered. And when one falls out, I know that too. You think God is not involved in your life? You think God's not interested in your life? You think God is just disengaged? Hey, he's from everlasting. He always was. He is too everlasting. He always will be. And yet he pays so much attention. Why does he do that? Look at Titus chapter 2. How much does he love you? Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's not two different people. That's one person. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. What's the last phrase? Zealous of good works. How much does he love you? He gave himself for us. God did that for you. He redeemed us. He purified us. The Bible said to make us a peculiar people. You say, well, I know some peculiar people. The Bible talks about a peculiar treasure too. That word peculiar is not the way we use the word like, boy, that's odd and strange and I can't believe that. That word says ownership. He paid for your soul so you could go to heaven one day by sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross, to shed his blood, so you could accept his payment for your sins. And the Bible says if you come to Christ and receive that payment as your payment, he would take you to heaven someday, and you are a peculiar possession of his. You are private property. That's what it means. Wow. God owns me when I'm his child. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how much he loved me. God sent his only begotten son to die for me. He sent him to die for you. He sent him to die for the whole world. If you'd receive Christ as your Savior, he would call you his possession and his property. Zealous of good works. That word zealous means the word we'd use for excitement. Zeal. Excitement, like busy, getting involved, doing something. Zealous of good works. We ought to be zealous of good works because of whom we serve. Hey, are you busy doing good works for God? Not to get saved, but because you are saved. Oh, we talk about, well, good works won't save you. Well, some people ought to get busy doing good works because they are saved. When are you going to get busy doing good works? Zealous of good works. The eternal God who is thy refuge. The eternal God who holds me in his everlasting arms. That God said, I should do good works. The God who always was, who has no beginning. The God who always will be, who has no ending. The Alpha and Omega, the great and faithful Creator who created me. He wants me to work for Him. You know, sometimes you go into a place and they say, hey, fill out a resume, right? Or fill out a resume and send it in and fill out an application, fill it out online, right? And then you ever see those things? I mean, you have to have like 14 years experience. Like, who can get a job, right? For making hamburgers. I mean, come on. You have to have all this. Now it's different, a little different now, right? They're hiring like $15, $20 an hour. Like, do you have any hands? That's okay. We don't care. Use your mouth. All right. They're looking for anybody. And so God says, look, I don't have a resume you got to fill out. I don't have an application. You don't need any experience. All you need to do is come. Wow. And He'll accept me? Yeah. He loves you that much. He wants you to be saved, but He wants you to do work for Him. We ought to be zealous of good works because of whom we serve. We ought to be zealous of good works because of what He has done. Listen, if God hasn't done anything for you, I could understand why you don't serve Him. But God holds your breath in His hand. He has chosen us in Him. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and we'll finish. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, there's so much in this chapter, we're not going to look at it all. But the first 14 verses tell us what God has done for us just a little bit. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us. Verse 4, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Wow, He adopted us when we're saved. He chose us, He blessed us, He adopted us. To the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, verse 6, accepted in the Beloved. Hey, all my problems, God says, you know what, I'm going to take you anyway. All my hang-ups, all my failures, all my sins, God says, I still love you. Accepted in the Beloved. I'm flawed, but I'm His. To the praise, verse 6, in whom we have redemption, verse 7, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. What's He done? He's forgiven your sins. Verse 8, He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, He made known unto us the mystery of His will. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. He's given us something that lasts forever. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And verse 13, the last phrase, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. How can you tell me God hasn't done anything for you? When the Bible tells me, just right here in these 14 verses, God's done so much for us. In the beginning, God, from everlasting, always was, to everlasting, always will be. And yet, He came into time, and He offered Himself for your sins, to take you to heaven by dying on the cross. A God who loves you. He humbles Himself to behold what's going on in your life. He knows everything about you. He knows you're down sitting. He knows you're uprising. He knows the hairs on your head. And now He says you're a peculiar people. If you're saved, I own you. You're my private property. And I've created you unto good works. Hey, we need to get busy serving God because, you know, can I tell you something? The time is short. I mean, you ever think about what's going on around the world? Man. The world's a crazy place, isn't it? Well, the Iranians launched some missiles at our embassy, right, in Iraq. Was that today? Was it yesterday? 12 missiles. Wow, that's exciting, man. I mean, everybody's just going nuts. Everybody's going crazy. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Listen, I don't know if the Lord's coming back today. He could come back tomorrow. He could come back in 20 years. He could come back in 100. He could come back in 1,000 years. But boy, I read my Bible. Everything just looks like all the prophecies are fulfilled. You come up with even the centuries and the millennia. We're in the seventh one, right? We're heading for the end of the sixth, the beginning of the seventh. I don't know. I'm not going to get into all that. But we better get busy doing good works because we don't have long. We don't have long. We still don't have long. Look, half my life is over. Over half, 3/4 of my life, 2/3. Don't get excited. 2/3. My life is over, okay? Well, you know, I'm not going to just coast on the last third. I know more than I knew before. I'm responsible for more. Hey, you got kids? Man, listen, don't use them as an excuse not to serve God. You know, I found out if you use something as an excuse, God might take it away. Well, I can't serve God. I'm busy. Well, God will make you bored. You'll lose your job. Huh. I can't serve God. God will make the economy. Oh, that already happened. Just say, you know what? I'm just going to serve God, whatever happens. I'm just going to get busy. I know we got to quit, right?